Good rainy Saturday afternoon to you. Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope your rain doesn't dampen your spirits too much. We need it. According to one of the pages that I follow, WeatherX, WeatherRX, I forget exactly what it is, but his model that he puts up here, the European model, through February the 18th, has our area getting upwards of like 5 to 6 inches of rain over the next week. So, hey, that's good, though. Lake Hartwell will fill up, hopefully, and they won't drain it down. anyway, it's been a while since she's been on, and she's busy like everybody else gets to be, but at 13, she's a lot busier than she ever thought she would be, aren't you?
Yeah, a lot more.
But I'm glad to have my daughter Taylor sitting in with me. We're going to talk a little bit about archery. Mm-hmm. Your competitive season starts up here this week.
Start up, yep.
And are you ready for it?
I'm getting there, getting in the mindset of it, but I think it's going to be a good season.
Team ready?
I think so. We've been shooting really good at practice, and so we're all just getting in that mindset.
Different team this year. A lot of seniors gone. A lot of the people you grew up shooting with have mm-hmm. graduated now.
Yep, it's sad, but this is the time where we got to step up for the archers that have moved on. And just take the team.
And then the Hurricanes they've added an elementary school team, which you didn't have when you started because you weren't even middle school when you started shooting with them.
Yep, it's different. We added an elementary team. It's been good. I'm very impressed with some of the archers that have been on there. And I don't know, we're ready for this regionals competition. And yeah, we're just gonna take it.
We're gonna get into a little bit of archery later on in this show. We're also gonna talk to Joshua Barnes. Joshua runs the Woods Runner School of Self-Reliance. Great conversation we had earlier in the week. We're going to listen to that at the 3:30 break, after the 3:30 break. And it's really good. I hope if you're interested in some of the things that he talks about, that you'll look him up on the web, try to get involved in some of his classes. He's got some great things coming up, which will be on the calendar events later on this year. And hopefully I can get down there and actually see what the whole camp's like and I don't know, maybe get back to my skills of woodsmanship, which is where we grew up with in Chester. You learn how to be a woodsman. I think, and he and I talk about it a little bit, I think a lot of that's been lost these days. Even the people who are outside, they don't really know how to be woodsmen or don't know what it is to be a woodsman. So talk a little bit about that and some other stuff. A lot of stuff in the news. Like I said, it's going to be rainy this week. Get used to it. Lake Hartwell will fill up. The Bassmasters coming here in a month. They will appreciate it. And speaking of the Bassmasters, it looks like they have the new dock installed down at Green Pond Landing. They had a BFL run out of there this morning, and Green Pond Landing Event Center posted a picture that said the new dock's getting to work out this morning. So it looks like we got parallel walk-in docks and boat docks down there that are in place and ready. So that's great news. Oh, let's see. What have I got? About 6 minutes. Let's talk a little bit about the calendar of events. Just a couple things to get you started here. The Lower Saluda River Cold Water Trout Regulations public comments. They're going to have two meetings concerning, you know, down there below the Lake Murray Dam. They have a very vibrant trout fishery. They stock some. I think they've actually concluded there are some wild reproducing fish down there now, which is really neat. It would be as far as I know, the southernmost location in the United States to have a reproducing trout population, which is a pretty cool thing for South Carolina, you know, considering we have a fish ladder or a fish lift out of St. Stephen's. So we're lucky that way. A lot of stuff outdoors here. But anyway, if you're interested in it, what they're proposing is about a mile and a half of the Saluda River. Once they get, there's a new access point going in. And they're trying to protect some of that stretch that is where they're reproducing to a catch and release only. It's a 1.3-mile stretch from Interstate 26. Let's see, catch and release. Say eastbound lanes of Interstate 26 and Stacy's Ledge. And if you're interested in that, they're going to have two public meetings. Tuesday, February 13th, that's this Tuesday, the Saluda River Club, that's Chikawa Outdoor Center in Lexington, South Carolina. And then Thursday, the 15th, Saluda Shoals is the main auditorium at the Environmental Education Center in Columbia on Bush River Road. They've already had one meeting at the West Columbia Community Center. So if you're interested in the fishery and want to hear why they want to make this a catch and release only area, there are your two dates. You can get more information from this at the DNR website. You go to SCDNR, click on the right-hand tab. It's got news, and it'll take you to it, and it lists this here. So pretty cool that we've got that good a fishery here in South Carolina for trout that far down in the state. So March the 2nd, the Piedmont branch of QDMA will have their 7th annual Spring Classic. Of course, it's food, fun, fellowship. Dates, March 2nd. Time, doors open at 6 o'clock. Locations, the Indigo Hall in Spartanburg, South Carolina. It's over on Ezel Street. Tickets and all. You can, if you just want to go to the QDMA website, go to events, click on South Carolina. It'll list upcoming events there. Well, I talked to John Stillwell this morning. We are going to have him on. The Foothills branch is going to have theirs. Theirs is going to be an oyster roast this year out at the Airport Cafe at Greenville Downtown Airport. Taylor over here decides she's interested in oysters now.
Yep.
They're good, aren't they?
Oh, my gosh. They're so good.
So, anyway, we might be going to the Foothills thing now. But John's going to come on and talk about their chapter of QDMA, some of the things they're going to do, the banquet, and how to get involved with QDMA. Ashley River Cleanup is coming up March the 3rd. That's where you volunteer. You put your boat in down on the Ashley River. You run up and down the river picking up trash. You know, if you're looking for a community service project, a lot of you seniors, high schoolers out there need these things, and you got a boat, you want to get down the coast for the weekend, there you go. They have a web page and a Facebook page, but it's the Somerville Saltwater Anglers, Dorchester County, Charleston Waterkeeper, and American Rivers are the organizations involved. You can get more information from any one of theirs. But I think they're going to meet, yes, 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock on Saturday the 3rd, and they're going to leave from the Herbert M. Jimson Public Boat Ramp in Somerville. Good way to get involved. The Upstate Sportsman's Banquet featuring Shaw Grigsby. This is coming up Thursday, March the 8th from 7 to 9. Shaw's a great guy. Talked to him several times over. He's going to be in town, of course, for the Classic. He's coming in a little bit early, but 7 to 9 at the Dream Cars of the Carolinas over in Simpsonville. You can catch him there. Let's see here now. Barbecue dinner and hear from Shaw Grigsby. They're going to have a Q&A with local turkey hunter legend outdoors our way, Wyman Kellett. Very good. So that's, like I said, that's the calendar brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pond Landing and Event Center. Just some place to get you started, let you know there's a little bit of that stuff. There is a bunch of wild game dinners coming up here shortly. On in from the end of February into March, that we'll get to on subsequent weeks here. But just a place for you to get started, and you can take it from there. News, they had a big addition to the South Carolina Memorial Reef this week. Let's see here now. Freeland Construction previously donated 3 barge loads of concrete to the site. 4,760 tons of concrete is now at the bottom of the ocean at the South Carolina Memorial Reef, adding 60,000 cubic feet of habitat for the fishes, which is good news. We all like to see the fishes. We like the fish to grow bigger, and we like to eat the fishes. But anyway, it's one of those things that's continually ongoing here in our state is efforts to keep conference conservation front and center, and it's a good thing to see. Bad news, on the other hand, and we'll get into this a little bit later on, they had a confirmed case of CWD in Mississippi, first case in the state. We'll talk about, if we have time, we'll talk about that later in the show. Oh, some news from L.L. Bean. Remington is looking to file bankruptcy, and there's going to be some antler measuring sessions set across South Carolina. I'll try to get that in the last segment of the show today. But hold on through the break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little archery with a hurricane, the Greenville Hurricanes archery team. My daughter, Taylor Metz. So hang on through the break. Back with more Woods and Water, South Carolina on the other side. Always wait for that one. It's turn it up. It's a ways in there, though. See? Make you wait for it. Anyway, turn up your radio a little bit where you can hear, because we're going to talk a little archery. They, you know, there are lots of sports out there. You know, basketball, football. Well, we kind of watched a little combination basketball rugby match this morning, didn't we?
Oh, yes, we did.
Taylor's last basketball game. Last church basketball game was today. Y'all were down.
Yep,
we're but down. All game. Came back, I think it was 12 seconds left.
We won by 1 point.
One free throw. That was the turn. She missed the first one, made the second one. Not Taylor, but one of her teammates. But look, it's in sports, and Casey has talked about this here on the show. You know, as long as there's time on the clock, there's a chance. You never quit playing the game. Right? Play the game, not the person, Taylor.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to do this again, Daddy.
No, we're not going to do this again. We beat this horse to death. And we don't have to deal with it again until next year. But it was fun. I hope I can make it through the show yelling so much from the bench. But it was a good, great game. But a little bit of combination, basketball, rugby, football, flag football and tackle, depending on who was there. Mm-hmm. Good game. Good to see kids out doing it. But in any sport, there are benefits. Archery, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, the National Archery and School Program is something that I am fully behind. I've seen it make a huge difference in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from before when you started shooting and to this day, it's been a huge difference in your life.
It really has, yeah. I've noticed it. Y'all have noticed it, obviously. Yeah. But.
And you, it is something you will do your schoolwork to go to archery practice.
Mm-hmm. I will. Yep. That's saying something.
It's a motivation. But there's some tremendous benefits of it. And we're going to run through this article written. It was from World Archery from back in May of 17. 8 health benefits of archery. The sport of archery requires precision, control, focus, physical ability, and determination. Top athletes train daily and for hours at a time, but even recreational archery can carry huge benefits for your health. Whether practiced indoors or out, competitively or socially, and despite often being perceived as stationary, archery gets you active, burning calories, and a better state of mind. And I think you'd fully agree with that, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, fully.
Depending on how you shoot, that state of mind depends on how you shoot during practice.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Exercise. Every time you go to archery, you get your exercise. And this is Colleen and Patrick Pusateri, the coaches, and Mr. Bergeron, too. Mm-hmm. Cole just do a great job with Hurricanes Archery Program, have since, I think, 2013.
It's going on six years now.
Mm-hmm. 12 or 13 is when they started. I know we found out about it in 13. You started shooting in 14. Mm-hmm. Exercise. You do warm-ups beforehand and you do a full routine. And tell us, pick one thing and tell us about what you do in warm-ups and what you do in the exercise program.
So at the beginning of practice, we always do warm-ups just to warm up our muscles and get ready for the night of shooting. And our main warm-up that we do is, of course, we do the string bow reps. But that's just kind of getting the swing of things. Our main warm-up that we do is you can go to Walmart and buy one of these. It's a stretch band, and we just do drawbacks just to get our muscles awake. And then at the end, at our warm-ups, we mainly just do ab, and then we do some bicep and tricep. But our main ab that we do is flutter kicks, and those are killer. Those are killer.
Actually, back to high school gym class.
We do 15 reps in 3 sets. So we do that, and then we'll take a break every once in a while if we need to. But normally it's just go, go, go with ab.
And that's just part of it. I mean, how long normally is that exercise period inside of practice?
Maybe about 15 to 30 minutes.
Yeah. Depending on how much you do, mm-hmm. what you do, and how much you do.
Yep.
That's a bunch, and that's 2 nights a week you do that.
Mm-hmm. And then you're supposed to work out at home.
And you do some at home, too.
Mm-hmm. I do.
What's that little board we got you for Christmas?
The Simply Fit board.
Simply Fit board, yeah.
I think Mama's used that more than me.
That's a break arm thing for me. But that's just one of the things. That in a team setting, and there's these archery and school programs are all over in a team setting, and that's what you do. And mm-hmm. I think it's now it's required by NASP that you have the physical fitness aspect to it.
It is, yeah.
Used to be just the team shooting and all that. This year they came in with a thing and said, this needs to have a physical education mm-hmm. component to it. And that's why y'all do so much just now.
Yep.
The study shows that archery is just below marathons as far as burning calorie usage, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Strengthening, big component of it.
Very big. Very.
And you've noticed that, too, a lot in your arms and shoulders.
Yep.
Drawing the bow, it's a strength deal.
It is.
And especially when you're shooting in tournament, when you're shooting mm-hmm. four sets of 10, four sets of 15, it's a conditioning program.
If you're not fit, it's going to be a killer for you to go throughout this competition. And I found my first 2 years, it was hard for me because I wasn't working out at home as much as I should. And after I started working out, it got easier and easier for me.
Control?
Oh, yeah. A lot of control.
Control, coordination. I mean, it kind of goes together. You got to be able to control yourself. Hand-eye coordination is very important. But it's a repetition thing, too, mm-hmm. isn't it?
It is.
You pull back. You got your release point. You kind of just know.
Mm-hmm. You do. You feel whenever you get in your right stance or your right position, you feel good about your shot and the way your form is.
How many times have you shot a bow and arrow now?
Too many to count.
Patience. Fifth thing in there, patience.
A lot of patience.
Can't get upset with yourself, can you?
No, I'm still working on that.
It's just your personality. You're so much like me. This is something you've been working on, relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're lying, relaxing. It's hard. I mean, in competitions, okay, you got regionals coming up in Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
This coming Wednesday. Then we got state coming up the end of March
in Sumter.
And, I mean, you're shooting, I guess, at regionals. There'll be, what, 100 archers up at any given time?
Mm-hmm. It's just the upstate teams.
Yeah, but, I mean, you'll be shooting with 100 other kids at the same time. So you have to be able to relax, concentrate.
Yep.
When you get to nationals in Kentucky, there's 500 kids shooting at one time.
Yeah.
You have 250 targets. And this is just one section of the Kentucky Expo Center. They'll have 250 targets set up down the east wall.
Mm-hmm.
And you got 500 kids shooting every time.
It is nerve-wracking. When you go to put your target face on, you just focus on your target. Don't look down the line, because then you're going to get really stressed.
You've been lucky. You've had some really good lane mates.
I have.
The years.
Some people not as lucky as me, but.
Number six was relaxing. Seven. This is something. If you talk to Ryan Bass, Kim Leverich, Billy Dukes, any of those people that are associated with the National Archery and School Program, and I see it, and you talk to parents at these other competitions, self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You just picked up basketball here. You played a couple of years and all, but, mm-hmm. you know, we homeschool, so you're not in the football. I mean, you enjoy going to football games. You love that stuff. But as far as team sports, this is it. You belong, and that gives you a ton of self-confidence.
It really does, and especially when you have good teammates. Like, my teammates are my family, and they give me so much support. If I shoot a bad arrow, I come back, they're always like, just shake it off. You did amazing that round. Do better the next round.
And it doesn't stop there.
No, it doesn't.
It's like 24/7 with you guys.
It is. We go out almost every single night. We see each other.
And then this phone calls, it's part of being a team.
It really is.
Socialization comes in there. Even in competition, archer's greatest opponent is himself. You know, you got to set your goals, you know, and, you know, scores are all up to you
mm-hmm.
for the most part. Last on the list is the socialization part. We talked about that. Your friends that you've made, I mean, you're still in contact with some of those who graduated. You got mm-hmm. one of your friends just is shooting for Liberty University, and they just got back from Las Vegas.
Congrats to Hannah Suber. They made it to their second competition. She placed third in their first competition for the women's division. So they're probably going back to Liberty today from Las Vegas from their second competition. I don't know the outcome of it yet, but I'm very proud of her and taking that to college with her.
You know, and this is another thing, right along with high school bass fishing, with scholastic sporting plays that's offered here in the state of South Carolina. A lot of these things now are spilling over into college. You know, Gary Mason up at, just left me. Anyway, they're giving scholarships for archery mm-hmm. now.
They are.
scholarships for bass fishing. I mean, this class, I think they handed out $25,000 worth of scholarships yesterday at the, or yet between yesterday and today at the National Wild Turkey Federation Scholastic Sporting Clays Competition. Where do you see you going, or how long are you going to stick with it?
I think until I graduate. It's just something that I love. It's a lifestyle to me. It's not just, oh, you know, it's a sport. But it is a sport. It's your life. And I love my life.
You don't have to hunt to shoot archery. But you want to. Mm-hmm. And granted, there is a natural progression from, because there, you started out, the whole NAS program was the square targets. Bullseye. Mm-hmm. That's what you're shooting.
Bullseye.
Now they're branching off into 3D. There's a lot of 3D competitions. And explain, just to take a minute, explain what 3D is.
So 3D is basically you have the distance from 15 meters to 10 meters. And there are these, what would you call them? Like, they're not quite rubber. They're
composite foam.
Yeah. And you have a deer, a coyote, a mountain goat. Anything.
Turkey.
Turkey.
Yeah.
And they have them in between 10 and 15 meters, and they're staggered. And you shoot at these targets, and you transition through until you make it back to where you started. And it's really become a big thing. I know a lot of our archers on the high school team have really gotten into it and are going to shoot at regionals.
It's all made possible by one bow.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty of it.
Oh, yeah.
Genesis bow.
My bow is my baby.
Gosh. Boy, I'm learning a lot about you right here. but that's just a little glimpse into what it's like to shoot on a National Archery and School program on a team. They have a ball. I mean, those kids are tight. They're a member of a team where a lot of them are not football players, baseball players, basketball players. Just like the classic Sporting Clays program, you don't have to be a jock to shoot clays. You don't have to be one to shoot arrows.
Mm-hmm.
And they're adult leagues. Look, this is not just for kids. This is started in Kentucky. It's running away in the school system. But you can get on as an adult and shoot adult leagues. And you usually shoot that 3D. It's a walking course. That looks pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Get you a better bow. We're going to do that. Bigger bow. All right. Hang on through the break. Going to talk to Joshua Barnes from the Woodrunner School of Self-Reliance. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You know, you've got to admire the National Wild Turkey Federation, Quality Deer Management Association, some of the big national organizations, YLI camps in Clemson, everyone that's interested in getting people outside and a little more in touch with nature. But you've also got to really give a handout to individuals who take on the same type endeavor. And we're lucky enough to have one right up here in the upstate in Lawrence County. It's the Woodrunner School of Self-Reliance. As I do a lot, I sent out an email and got a response. And, hey, we're talking to Joshua Barnes today. Josh, thanks for taking time out of your day and being on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I got to hand it to you. Initiative, you trying to get people back in touch with the basics, so to speak, probably. Would that be correct?
Yes, sir. That's it. We focus on all the way from the basics all the way to more advanced and taking people back even to primitive times, primitive skills as well.
What? Well, take just a minute before we get started on that. Tell us who you are, how you came up with this idea, and how you got it started.
Okay. Well, I'm Joshua Barnes. I'm the founder and director of operations of Woodrunner School. We're located in Clinton, South Carolina. And back in 2016, my wife is kind of a story here. My wife approached me in 2015, that summer, about how much time I was working and how much effort I was putting into the business that I had. And she did something most wives would not do. She actually asked me to put it aside and take the entire upcoming deer season off and hunt every day that I could possibly hunt.
Boy, that's a good wife.
Yeah, let me tell you, I married the best. And through that duration, I took her up on that offer. I didn't really understand why until I got back out in nature. And I started realizing that it was the place for me to be. It helped me to go back into what I was taught as a child and through my teen years by my great-grandfather and my father and uncle. Those guys are great woodsmen, and they showed me things that most people today don't even know. And I was able to reconnect with nature and spend that whole entire deer season doing that. And it become not an escaping longer like it had been for so many years, but more of a place of being back at home.
Sure.
And yeah. And so when the first of the year come that year, it actually went back to the same old until one night I woke up and said, you know what? No more. Cause I started realizing why she had called me away from that.
Yeah.
And I realized it was time for me to do something different. And the thought came into mind about opening up the school at that point in time. That's what we did.
Go ahead.
And we worked very hard, to get it going. I've got certifications and put a lot of stuff together in about 6 months time and had the school open in July of 2016.
It's amazing what a good woman will do for us, isn't it?
Absolutely. She's my rock, most definitely.
They know us a lot better than we know ourselves sometimes.
Absolutely.
Well, the Woodrunner School of Self-Reliance, it's, what all do you do down there? I mean, on your webpage, you know, what we're about type thing. Take us through just a little bit of what you're about, what you're doing, and then I'd like to get into some of the classes you're teaching later on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we take it so much further than just basic survival skills, and I think everybody should know those things due to the fact if anybody spends time outdoors, they should learn things that will actually keep them alive or keep them safe until rescue comes. We're very blessed in the air that we are today about having all the rescue resources and things. And as long as you properly notify somebody before you live out, then you should be okay and should be able to rescue or self-rescue pretty quickly.
Right.
But what we do, we take it so much further than that. I want to teach you how to enjoy nature. I want to teach you how to enjoy the outdoors and not just walk in and look around, because I know a lot of people that I talk to on the day-to-day, they say, well, what kind of tree is that or what is this? You know, they look at all these things and look at all this beauty, but they don't understand it.
Sure.
And then not just understand it, but how many resources and what it provides for us. And we do, like I say, so much more than that. We actually teach wild edibles.
Okay.
I teach medicinals from using plants and trees from nature. We teach navigation skills, how to track, how to trap, so many other things that go along with just survival skills in itself.
You know, you've got to get somebody to mentally check out from the daily life and check in to the mindset that you're after, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And that's a hard thing sometimes for some people to do.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing about it is people, and I got caught up in the same thing, the same system was I'd work hard and try to get off quick enough to be able to get into the woods, and mm-hmm. I didn't spend enough time scouting. You know, we all go through that.
Sure.
And unless you have a lot of time to devote to those things, you know, you're trying to pursue that game or whatever else, and you just don't really get to enjoy it. It becomes like a job, actually. Hunting actually can even become a secondary job for some folks.
You know, it's amazing. I mean, because it's an amazing thing that you just said, because my brother and I were working over at the farm this a week ago or so, and he brought the exact same point. He said, you know, he said you're pressured in your work and all, and when you get to the stand, you've got 4 hours, and you're pressured to see something, to take something home, instead of just stopping and saying, look, I got 4 hours just to check out of life and enjoy being here. Hunting is not a pressure situation.
Absolutely. And so many things have come out into the hunting community, all so many different things as far as scent and mm-hmm. scent control and all these different products, and people think they have to be all this prim and proper way to be able to kill deer or to be able to hunt game. But if you take it back, and you really think about it, you know, you don't have to put that much into it. If you just put yourself into it and quit looking for the game much and just actually just start enjoying stuff, you'd be amazed how much more you see.
Yeah, and how much more fun you'll have while you're doing it too.
Absolutely. And that's the whole reason. That's what the context is. Like I say, it doesn't go all the way back to just survival skills. It's how to get people acquainted with outdoors.
Yeah. I mean, and you appeal to so many. I mean, you corporate team building type things, scouts, church groups, your prepper groups.
Absolutely.
You can tailor all of this to each of their needs with both just general to your advanced stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. We got who you are and what the Woodrunner School is. Tell us a little bit about what you're trying. I mean, it says our goal here is to help students begin or advance their journey to thrive in the natural environment. What all does that entail on a personal level?
Okay. If you start from the ground up, I've had people come into our basic courses that actually have been in the military, or they have prior experience or been in the woods all their lives, and they still take a lot away from it.
Okay.
And all the way up into our advanced courses, and it just teaches people so many different things, and they come in different seasons and they see different things, and that's the way that it works. It works because nature is always evolving, always changing. So there's always something there for them to learn. And it's been amazing how much I've actually learned from dealing with other students, from their past and their knowledge as well. So it's been really great to be able to go through this for the last few years we've been doing it.
You got a bunch of courses out there that you offer, some coming up as early as this weekend, others the end of February, on into March. Let's just take one, Wilderness Survival 101. What do you teach in Wilderness Survival 101?
When you come into Wilderness Survival 101, the main thing we're going to focus on is the core four, and that's going to be fire, shelter, water, and food. Those are the four things that you need to be able to just be able to live and to be able to exist. And what we're going to do with those four things, we're going to take those four things and show you how to control your core body temperature, how to make sure you are well hydrated, make sure you have a cover over your head, and make sure you find something to eat while you're there until you're waiting on rescue to come take care of you and get you out of there. That's basically, in a nutshell, that's what is covered there. And in some of the things we're going to look at, we're going to look at different types of shelters, how to use different items to improvise shelter. We're going to show you how to be able to make water safe to drink and how to be able to make fire using only natural tinders. So that's basically in from the get-go to the end, and with a whole lot more added to it.
And that right there is something, you know, most people look at it and go, oh, you know, okay, I got a lighter to do this. I got a tarp to do that. You know, I got a water bottle there, and I got a granola bar in my pocket on a day hike. But it's the whole reason for being prepared is that day hike could turn into something more accidentally, which is why they're called accidents, where you might not, you know, that lighter might quit working. You might not carry a tarp with you in your backpack every time you go on a 4-hour day hike, you know?
That's right. In South Carolina, people say, well, we don't have real extreme temperatures and things like that. But if you look at our spring and fall here, you can look at the simple fact. If you go out on a spring hike and it's 70 degrees during the day and it's still not kicked over to that warm evening, you could hike all day. You could break an ankle an hour before dark, be trapped on the trail, and all of a sudden, if 50 degrees drops, your core body temperature is going to start to drop. You put yourself in a hypothermic situation just due to the fact that you're wet from sweat.
That's right.
So there's so many things that can get you prepared, things I'm going to teach you to carry into the woods with you, and things you can do to keep yourself safe until somebody gets there to you.
Yeah, we don't have the extremes of 30 below zero in cold, but during, you're right, in the spring and fall days, you will have a 30, 40, 50-degree temperature swing between direct sunlight and the cold night because the atmosphere is so clear.
Absolutely. Well, that's the thing about talking about 30 below zero, mm-hmm, or whatever. Most people are going to be completely and utterly prepared for that before they ever step out versus somebody going out on a 70-degree day that could take a 30-degree temperature.
That's exactly right. That's like, mm-hmm, the person who starts out on a hike with boots as opposed to sandals, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, the next one up is a 4-day wilderness survival intensive course. Now, this one I'm sure probably gets pretty deep.
Yes, it does. What it is we review the same things you learn in the 101 class the first day you come back. And we actually encourage people to go home and practice those skills whenever they leave from the first class, because you need to keep yourself fresh and allow it to become a gross motor function. So that way things can go process through. When you come back from that intensive, we're going to show you more advanced skill sets, how to use other materials. And then we're going to actually take you out and actually challenge you for 2 days, a night and 2 days. You're actually going to use what we teach and actually test yourself, your mental capability and your physical capabilities out there.
That's where the pedal hits the road, right?
Absolutely. And that's where you're actually going to challenge yourself. And that way, whenever you challenge yourself, you got to see then at that point, tell them, well, this is what I really truthfully need to work on, and this is what I need to focus on more, so that way I'm more prepared so if anything ever happens.
What group of people are you trying to appeal to with each of these courses?
Well, anything. I've had all the way from children at 5 years old all the way to save me something has actually come into the school. We've had over 200 students since July 2016, and we've had a very diverse crowd. It could be anyone and everyone. The main thing I focus on is to make sure that people, if they spend any time in the outdoors, they should be able to come and take these courses. They should, just so they know that they have what they need to take care of themselves.
And the third one that you got up here, at least on the short-term schedule, is a primitive cooking workshop, which probably will make my mouth water, but tell us a little bit about that one.
Okay, I'll tell you a little bit about it. We actually take, and the only thing I allow the students to use in that class is a knife. Everything is done primitive means. No pots and pans or nothing whatsoever. We use all what nature provides, and we use game and actual fruits and vegetables that actual nature provides. And we actually cook it over a fire that's actually started, and we go from there. It's actually pretty incredible, the things that you can use and the things you can find within nature to be able to cook and to be able to eat. And the one reason why I do this class is to allow people to lessen their load that they carry. If they have improvised cooking techniques to be able to do plenty of cooking, that means the less they have to carry on their back, that means the more they can enjoy the outdoors.
South Carolina, as far as being a diverse plant and animal environment, is there enough here where you can actually survive out there on what you find?
I would say you could do it in a short-term scenario. I mean, I've been out and did like 20-day hikes and 20-day trails and camps and stuff, and we've been able to trap. As long as during trapping season we're able to trap and we're actually good to fish and stuff, yes, there's enough out there if you've got the knowledge to be able to do it. But as far as someone that tries to just go out and escape into the woods forever, there's no way. We just do not live in a society today that we need to have things. We need to take things along with you.
But
I would never, ever encourage anybody just to try to run into the woods and live. It's a hard way.
Sure it is. But in a one- or two-day situation where you need food until somebody finds you, it's totally doable in South Carolina.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's plenty here. There's so many different edible resources and so much wild game, so many different varieties. Now, I tell people all the time that I've expected to make a buzzard shoot, but I wouldn't encourage people to go out there and do that. So you got to do what you got to do. And that's up to the student to be able to challenge yourself or the individual to challenge yourself if they want to do something like that.
I asked Scott Lace at the Sporting Chef what the most interesting thing he ever ate, and he said armadillo.
Oh, yeah, I've had that too. Yeah, we do backstrap at armadillo, and the thing is we find them all the time on the road.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, if we get up the road real recently and come back, we'll pick it up. Why not?
Oh, me. Yeah. Well, this is great stuff. It's one of those things where if I had time, I'd probably wear your – wear out my welcome down there. But how do they find you? How do they find out what you're offering and get in touch with you if they want more information?
Yeah, they can find us at our website, www.woodsrunnerschool.com, or they can actually find us on Facebook at the Woods Runner School or even Instagram, the Woods Runner School of Central Alliance. It should be able to find us pretty easy on any of those. And they can also give me a call at 864-871-6223.
Man, this is some good stuff, Joshua. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to be on Woods and Water, South Carolina. I'm serious when I say, and I say this to a lot of people, and I try to do the best I can. I'd love to come down and see what you do and maybe watch some people that are taking your class. If I had time, maybe I might take them yourself. But I'd love to circle back around and hit up with you again maybe end of summer, fall, and see what you got going on that time of the year.
I do appreciate it, sir, and you're welcome anytime, Dan. Come join us.
Thank you, Joshua. That's the Woodrunner School of Self-Reliance, Joshua Barnes, and you can find him on everywhere you normally look, website, Instagram, Facebook. Take advantage of some of these things that are right outside your back door. I mean, we're blessed in South Carolina with just a great outdoor environment, and some of these courses are probably for you. Josh, thanks. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I do hope you'll, if you're interested in such things, get a hold of Joshua down there at the Woodrunner School. I think it'd be really fun to do since it's so close to home, just to see how good a woodsman you really are. Well, they started out fishing Thursday. Today they cut to 50 today, and Andy Montgomery, according to Bass Track, was in third place with 39. Casey was in 16th with 33.4. Andy's actually weighed in already, and he's sitting in third place with 40. Casey hadn't weighed in yet. Jason Williamson's in 12th with 32. So good day for the South Carolina guys, other than Marty Robinson. Marty didn't have a very good tournament. Of course, on the other hand, he probably got back to watch his boys play basketball today. Final game. Hey, this weekend, South Carolina is a – well, this weekend is a big one. Is a big weekend in South Carolina because of the Southeastern Wildlife Exposition. So it opens up Friday. Lots of stuff going on. What's going again this year? What's one of your favorite things about SeaWee?
Probably the dog competition. That's just – I just love dogs.
You just love dogs, yes. We know that. That's why Sophie still gets in her lap at night.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's true.
What happened at Doc Dogs? Tell us what happens.
So basically the dogs have a coach, and they train them, and then they go to these competitions and just throw, I guess, what you call it?
Dummy.
Just like, yeah, just a little dummy.
You throw a retrieving dummy. Yeah.
And they
or
measure.
A ball, whatever the dog
yeah,
likes.
They use a ball sometimes.
Yep.
And they just throw it into the water, and they measure how far the dogs jump off.
It's pretty cool. You got to figure out whether you want to be in the splash zone or not in that one.
Yep. I like to be in the splash zone.
You like to be in the splash zone. That's just one of the things going on. The Doc Dogs happen at Brittlebank Park. They're 9 o'clock Friday is when registration opens. I think they're going to start, competition 10 o'clock. So we'll be there Friday as a family. It's just a great family time at SeaWee. You can buy tickets still today. You can buy tickets this week. Not online. There are places outside and around the perimeter of Charleston, Mount Pleasant. Up in North Charleston, you can buy tickets before you get downtown. So you got still plenty of time to make plans to get down to Charleston and go to SeaWee this weekend. One of my favorite is Birds of Prey. Absolutely. Being able to see the hawks and the owls and buzzards and vultures, some of the things fly right there in front of you. And the message that's given, why birds are so important to our environment and all, it's a great time. Of course, you got the art, the Bush Wildlife Show, chef demonstrations going on all week. This year, they're adding a sheep and duck herding demo out of Brittlebank, which would be really good. So between Marion Square, Brittlebank Park, then you got things happening inside the Gilliard Center downtown, the Charleston Marriott. It's where they're having the decoy auctions, and then the art and all. QDMA is giving some lectures out at Brittlebank Park this year, as they did last year. Well, let's see. Jeff Foxworthy is going to be there.
Oh, that'll
be fun. One of those videos he used to do.
The
something deer hunter.
Uncompleted deer hunter or something like that.
Yes. Those are at the farm still.
Mm-hmm. Those are fun.
They're not DVDs. They're
VCR
tapes of Jess Foxworthy. Still over there.
They're funny.
They're funny. At night, you got a lot of things going. The South Carolina Waterfowl Association is having a sportsman's ball at the Omar Shrine Temple. Friday night, Ducks Unlimited is having an oyster roast at the Charleston Visitor Center. Saturday starts off with more of everything. Birds of Prey, Doc Dogs. I'm thinking at Brittlebank, there's lots. There's a Conservation Corner, where you got a lot of organizations, you got a lot of outfitters, African safaris, bird hunts, food, lots of food.
I like food. I
always like food trucks, yeah. What else? The little pick and shack where they have the musicians and all playing bluegrass or whatever. That's always fun. That's right there near the Doc Dogs. Marion Square is pretty much covered up with tents. Yeah, that's where they do the Birds of Prey demonstrations. You've got a lot of vendors. You got the South Carolina Wild Tent, which is a South Carolina certified produce that has locally made jams and cakes and spaghetti sauces and grits.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Grits are so good.
and they have samples.
Daddy, we got to stop talking about this. I haven't had lunch yet.
You have, neither have I. We haven't had lunch. Where are we going to lunch today?
Taco Casa.
Taco Casa. Goodness gracious, that place was named Taco Sid when I first started going there in the early 80s. Oh, man, I've been around here a long time. Anyway, inside the South Carolina Grown tents where your chef demos are going to be, you got a saltwater inshore fishing demo. Jack Hanna's going to be there in the Gilliard Center. Let's see. Retriever demos, those are always fun to watch. Caw Caw Wilderness Tour is going to happen. They've got these... Well, let's see. I don't see it on here. I thought they were doing it again. The Orion Society is one of my favorites too. Snakes. You get to handle snakes. Boy, I tell you, that one, what is that thing called? Indigo snake? Oh. Comes down from the southern. That thing is about 8 feet long.
Ugh.
Looks like a cobra.
Uh-uh.
But it is black. It is just silky smooth. No scales. The scales are all so smooth. Let's see. Some lecture series. Saginaw Waterfowl Association annual duck shuck oyster roast is happening Saturday night. They got a soiree. Low Country Social at Bruin Bank Park. It's just a full weekend of outdoors, and it's good. And, I mean, there's dogs everywhere. What was that big old, what is it, sheepdog we saw, something like that, the big old black thing?
Huge.
Yeah, he jumped up on the guy that was handling him. The guy's like 6'2" or something, uh-huh. And the dog's feet are on his shoulders. He's looking eye to eye with him. A big old dog. Puppies, setters, Boykin Spaniels, the Boykin Spaniel Society is all over there. So Seaweed is just a great thing to be a part of every year. And we enjoy doing it.
The little white lab dogs.
The little puppies, yes. Only problem with puppies is they grow up to be dogs. Kids, you know. They're cute when they're babies and they grow up.
Wow, thanks, Dad. I appreciate it. Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Every bit of it. You know I love you. Anyway, so if you're looking for something to do next weekend in South Carolina, it's Seaweed all the way. Hope to see you there. Look for me. I'll be around on Friday. Probably be around some on Saturday. Won't be here Saturday. We'll get something in the system, so it'll sound like I'm here, but I'll be at Seaweed next weekend. Hope to see you there. Might do some, keep an eye on Facebook. Might do some Facebook Lives from down there. Who knows? Be fun. Anyway, thanks for being here with me today, Taylor.
I enjoyed being here.
Enjoyed being here. Yes, ma'am. As always, people, make time to get out there, because if you don't make time, it won't happen. Take the back roads, because that's where South Carolina comes alive. Don't forget that camera. See you back here next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Yes, I'm from Carolina.